Hello and welcome to Thursday, November 12th edition of Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We've got a great show today. We're going to be talking about children's health, the City Museum's annual meeting, the chamber music, Arts Up, and chatting with Southeast's very own local boy done good, John Straley, who's in town from Sitka. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Fairbanks 4 exoneration case is in the hands of the Alaska Superior Court. Closing arguments were heard this week, ending a five-week hearing to consider innocence declarations by George Freese, Kevin Pease, Marvin Roberts, and Eugene Vent. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
Central to the Fairbanks 4 petitions are alternative John Hartman murder suspects William Holmes and Jason Wallace. The two men already imprisoned for unrelated 2002 drug killings have alleged involvement in the Hartman attack. In closing statements Tuesday, Fairbanks 4 attorney Bob Bundy maintained that Holmes and Wallace's involvement in the 1997 beating death contributed to their future collaboration on cocaine ring killings.
Holmes trusted Wallace to carry out his murderous plot to kill their competition in the cocaine business. I don't suppose there's a reason for that other than he knew that Wallace would keep his mouth shut and that Wallace was capable of brutality on that scale.
State Attorney Adrian Bachman contested any involvement of Holmes and Wallace in the Hartman attack, classifying the alternate suspect theory and other Fairbanks 4 evidence, like described retooled alibi witness testimony, as revisionist history.
The agenda is to somehow undermine the court's confidence that due process was served in the four trials, the three trials in which 36 jurors deliberated and came to unanimous verdicts based on the highest standard of proof in the land.
The standard of justice Judge Paul Lyle must apply in considering the Fairbanks 4 post-conviction relief requests is less than the beyond a reasonable doubt benchmark by which the men were convicted. Lyle told the courtroom PCRs require clear and convincing evidence. For National Native News, I'm Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Some Native leaders and groups in Canada are urging the new government in Ottawa to not rush into a public investigation involving missing and murdered Aboriginal women and girls. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, they're suggesting that it must be done carefully and include relatives of the victims.
The new Liberal government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has taken a far different approach to the issue than his predecessor. Stephen Harper refused to hold a national inquiry. But Trudeau has vowed to uphold his campaign promise to hold one, and soon. But some people are cautioning his government not to move too quickly. Nahani Fontaine is a special advisor on Aboriginal women's issues.
If you were to do a sample of families across the country, they'd say, everybody just, you know, slow down a little bit. Let's do this properly in the beginning so that we all have a really good invested commitment into the process.
And while families connected to missing and murdered Aboriginal women are encouraged by plans for an inquiry, they want to be included. Bernadette Smith's sister has been missing for 7 years.
We'd really like to see, you know, a woman commissioner appointed to this issue. You know, families' voices at the forefront because many of our families have not been heard.
Meanwhile, Canada's new Indigenous Affairs Minister says the process on how best to proceed with an inquiry will begin within the next couple of weeks. Carolyn Bennett says a pre-inquiry process has already begun by talking with families of victims, provincial and territorial representatives, and grassroots organizations. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
People across the United States are celebrating Native American Heritage Month by wearing their traditional shoes. This week, many are taking part in what some are calling Rock Your Mocs Week. Events such as one held at the Navajo Nation Museum in Arizona hosted moccasin stories and demonstrations Tuesday. People are also using social media to post photos of their mocs to show their Native pride. The annual event has reached Indigenous nations worldwide. Last year, people in other countries, including New Zealand, took part in the Rock Your Mocs celebration. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by the National Indian Health Board. Open enrollment for the health insurance marketplace runs through January 31st. Many Indian health clinics will host enrollment events with help available in person. You may qualify for low-cost plans, zero copays, and zero deductibles. Plus, your clinic keeps more resources when they can bill your insurer. You can set an example for your family, friends, and community by ensuring your needs are covered when you visit healthcare.gov/tribal.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You are listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO, broadcast from downtown Juneau, Alaska. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He is at the board. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. It is 6 minutes past the hour, and we've got a strong wind advisory through this afternoon. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour, and tonight rain showers. Same gust, 25 miles per hour, and tomorrow rain showers, highs around 43. Maybe it's fall in November. Maybe it's fall in Southeast. I'm not exactly sure, but it sure seems that way. We're definitely having rain. So our first guests are Katrina Pearson, who is a local Juneauite who's here representing the Friends of the Juneau Douglas City Museum. And as I said in the intro, our very own Southeast Alaska boy done good from Sitka, John Straley. He is the award-winning author of 9 books. He spent a good portion of his life as a criminal investigator, a gumshoe, maybe, you could call that, and he wrote some gumshoe novels, but he also is a poet, so he's kind of a criminal investigator with the soul of a poet. He's a fantastic author and a very kind man, and he's here in our studio. So welcome, John.
Thank you.
What brings you to Juneau?
Well, tonight I'm going to give a talk at the Hangar, right, at 7:30, I believe.
The Hangar Ballroom at 7,
at
I say
7. 7, sorry.
And the title of the talk is The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But a Story, The Art of Writing Historical Fiction. And this is a fundraiser. Well, actually, this is the annual meeting and an event hosted by the Friends of Juneau Douglas Museum.
Yeah, this is our annual meeting for the Friends of the Juneau Douglas City Museum, and John is our speaker this year.
So. Okay, great. So 7 o'clock, and if you're a member, it's free, and if not, it's $5.
Correct.
To come hear John Straley talk about The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But a Story. So can you give us a little preview of the talk?
Well, I'm going to be talking about writing beautifully about history and both fiction and nonfiction. I'm going to cover both. I'm not going to just stick with writing historical fiction. And I'm going to use an example from Barbara Tuchman's writing in The Guns of August, which is, she has just this beautiful opening for that book. It's a book of history that was written in 1962, and I'm going to talk about how she uses all the great tools of technique and focus and all the tools in a writer's toolbox to make history come alive. But really, I'm going to just do anything I can to make everyone have a good time and stay in the Hangar Ballroom.
I think John Straley, and I imagine a bar, I think you'll be fine. John, I've attended several of John Straley's workshops, and he is a fantastic instructor. So
there you go.
But you don't have to believe me. I'm going to read you some reviews from his book. So my favorite is the Wall Street Journal's. This is a quote. Mr. Straley's prose continues to dazzle. His word pictures have a hallucinatory brilliance. And then the Boston Globe, that picked John's latest book, Cold Storage, as one of the best crime novels of 2014, said, "Dashes of magical realism mixed with ironic humor, reminiscent of the Coen brothers and the violence worthy of Quentin Tarantino, make the second series novel a winner." So, and that's only the partial. Then I could go on and talk about the New York Times Book Review and so on and so forth. But you're here in the studio with me. So do you think maybe, I know, you know, as I said, you have the soul of the poet. Your poetry I have found to be, like, exceedingly beautiful and moving. Do you have any maybe poems you might want to?
You think your listeners, they want to listen to poetry on a rainy windy day.
Garrison Keillor's probably up next, so we might hear it from you. That would be great. Right. So this is John Straley.
Sure. Let me read this one. I'll read this one for Jeff. This is called The Secret Diaries of Bugs Bunny.
Okay.
Of course he had lived underground most of his life, so it shouldn't have been a surprise when they discovered his writings embracing the workers' revolution. At first, they only had his anti-fascist writings during the war, but in the creases of a leather notebook, they found the portrait of the rabbit with Che Guevara taken in Bolivia, the sad-eyed doctor smoking a cigar, and the other, of course, with a carrot. It was there the rabbit learned to plug the barrel of a gun with his inexplicable finger. It was there he began his practice of waking early and hopping past the men in their camouflage caps, throwing back the tent flap where the handsome Argentine doctor was poring over maps. And the rabbit would stand and crafted his famous catchphrase en español, ¿Qué pasó, doctor? They both inscribed the photograph, the doctor frail with asthma, wrote, Por mi amigo, democracy is the slow road to socialism. And the cartoon rabbit, healthy from a diet of pilfered carrots, scrawled wildly underneath, History repeats itself, Comandante, first as tragedy, second as farce, con mi abrazo, sucker. Much love, Bugs.
That is terrific. If you're just joining us, that's Sitka author John Straley in town reading his own poetry. Lovely reading. I'm so happy you did that for us. Really, you could give Garrison Keillor a run for his money.
Well, I doubt that he writes many poems or reads many poems about Bugs Bunny.
Which is why it's so John Straley.
Yeah, there you fantastic. Go. I have a whole series of my animal spirit helpers, which all are cartoon characters.
Oh, that's great. That's a workshop in itself, right?
There you go.
But John is in town because tonight the Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum are holding their annual meeting. It's at the Hangar. It starts at 7. The meeting's from 6:30 to 7. John's talk starts at 7 o'clock. It's $5 for non-members, free for members of the Juno Douglas City Museum. And it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but a story, the art of writing historical fiction. Katrina, since you're here and you're representing the museum, can we talk a little bit about the museum and its mission? And I mean, we all know what it is, but can you give us a little background about the museum? It's our very own city's museum.
Sure. Yeah, the Juno Douglas City Museum is focused on history and collections that pertain very directly to Juno. You know, we have a lot of mining history. We have a fish trap. We also host art openings. And the Friends group, which I'm a part of, our mission as a group is to support the museum in what it does.
The fundraising part.
And volunteerism, et cetera.
Okay. So there'll be this talk tonight, John. You'll be chatting about writing and the art of writing historical fiction, looking at some fiction pieces and
I'll be talking about living history and how history needs a narrative. History needs a story to make it live and how to make it live for children and adults as they walk through the streets of any town. It needs a story to go with it. And it needs beautiful writing. And I'll talk about how to do that and how to recognize it when you come across it. It'll be more fun than that. That sounds like going to school, but it'll be way more fun. And I'm going to tell a lot of jokes about Katrina.
Katrina might be telling jokes about you.
That's
but
true.
The thing is that I'm dumbfounded because John is such a poet. Everything you say has such a spin to it. Seriously.
You need to get out more.
No. Trust me. I'm just saying that John's work is really beautiful. And so, John, what are you working on now? So you're done. You retired as a criminal investigator.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just retired from the state working for the Public Defender Agency. And I'm working on a Cecil Younger novel, a new one. And I'm putting together a collection of poems. I have about 120 poems that I'm going through, and I have a new one right here that you can see. I'm still making scratches on it, and then I have another project, a nonfiction work of profile of our local veterinarian in Sitka, that I'm working on that. So I have three books that I'm working on, and I'm just, I love every second of it.
Wow, that's very different, mystery novel, nonfiction, and poetry. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Cecil Younger. So how many, that's your first series.
Right.
And how many books did you write about Cecil?
I think I wrote six.
And award-winning books.
Yeah, they won a couple awards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the humble man from Sitka. And then, so that's Thursday, that's tonight. Now, Writer's Showcase, okay, right here at the KTO studio downstairs, 360 North, you'll be part of the Writer's Showcase, and you'll be reading your own work, right? There'll be four pieces of writing, John Straley, Vivian Faith Prescott, Ed Sasser, and Melinda Moustakis, read typically by actors, but tomorrow you'll be reading your own work.
Yeah, I just found that out, that actors are going to be reading these other writers. I thought the other writers are going to be there, but no. Okay, so yeah, I'll be reading my own work.
Okay, and what are you reading tomorrow?
I'm going to be reading from Cold Storage, Alaska.
Oh, that's your newest book.
Which is my newest novel.
That's the one that the Boston Globe picked as one of the best crime novels of 2014.
That's right. And that's, along with John Darnielle, he wrote the best novel. John Darnielle from the Mountain Goats, my favorite band.
Okay.
He was in the best novel for Wolf in a White Van. I love him.
Wow.
Love is not even strong enough a word for how I feel about John Darnielle and Wolf in a White Van.
Wow, so now you have to go read all nine John Straley books, his poetry, and check out this guy, John Darnielle.
John Darnielle wrote Wolf in a White Van, and his book was also selected for the best novel of the year. It was nominated for a National Book Award, his first novel.
Really?
He's a rock star and wrote his first novel, and it was the first time out of the chute it was nominated for National Book Award. He's fabulous. This guy's fabulous. He writes peppy dance music for depressed people. Yeah. Check it out. The Mountain Goats. Yeah,
are you following this?
Him.
Okay. So tonight it's at the Hangar Ballroom, mm-hmm. 7 o'clock. Tomorrow it's at the Writer's Showcase downstairs in the KTO building. It's a live television recording. It will air
about
the 7 o'clock, and
right,
that's
at 7.
Free.
And I'll be reading myself. I won't be an actor. But they told me to ham it up a little more. I read down there, and they said I needed to emote more.
Really? We just heard your poetry.
Yeah, well, I'll be emoting like crazy down there tomorrow.
Okay, so you might want to wear a sweater. He's going to be emoting like crazy.
I'll just be emoting all over. I'll probably have saliva on the microphone and cameras.
Okay.
I'll be emoting.
I want to ask you one question.
Yes.
So out of all your nine books, they all take place in Sitka?
Well,
Alaska?
Yes, they all take place in Alaska.
Right.
I have a new book coming out with my wife. Jan Straley edited this book, a collection of essays about Ed Ricketts, the famous biologist doc from Cannery Row and The Sea of Cortez and Sweet Thursday by John Steinbeck. He was a character and a real person, actually. And mm-hmm. 32, Joseph Campbell, the famous myth guy,
mm-hmm.
and Jack Calvin and Jack Calvin's wife, Sasha. Sasha was from Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
They came up to Sitka on a boat called the Grampus. And in 32, Ed Ricketts, the famous doc, wrote a scientific paper. Jan publishes that paper for the first time in this book that Shorefast Editions by Miss Katrina Wolford Pearson is publishing. It come out at the end of the month. And I have an essay in that called Ricketts and Calvin and the Charisma of Place.
Oh, wow. And this is a paper from 1932, is it?
Yeah, it's a scientific paper on the intertidal life of Sitka. And Ricketts and Calvin wrote a seminal book of the intertidal life called Between Pacific Tides. It's the book that if you're looking for the little squirmy creatures on the intertidal lands, you pick up Between Pacific Tides. Ricketts and Calvin. Calvin's from Sitka. Ricketts was in Monterey. And my little essay is about how charismatic places attract charismatic people. And that's essentially it. And so this book is called Ed Ricketts from Cannery Row to Sitka, Alaska.
Right.
And it's a great book. And it's beautifully made.
Coming out next month from Shorefast.
Should be in within a couple of weeks.
Okay. And that's Shorefast is a locally owned publishing house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Katrina.
And Norm Campbell, who has a show at
at Heritage Coffee downtown on Front Street.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Norm Campbell has an art show, and he did all of the art for this book that's coming out. Beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful guy.
And if you're not getting a sense of place from what John's talking about, I'm going to read a quote from his article in the Capital City Weekly, an article about him in the Capital City Weekly written by Mary Catherine Martin. And he wrote, and I quote, "For me, everything starts with writing about place. My characters grow up out of the ground in my stories and the water and the coast and the fog and the rain." Because you were just talking about charismatic places, this notion that or theory that charismatic places attract charismatic people. So our charismatic town has attracted John Straley, and he'll be at the Hangar Ballroom tonight at 7 o'clock, and you should go check that out. And
it's tomorrow be way big fun.
At 360 North, 7 o'clock. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you for
having
us.
Pleasure to chat with you, and we're going to take a short break and be right back.
The Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 12th of November, 2015. It's the birthday of Elizabeth Cady Stanton, born in Johnstown, New York, 1815. She studied law in her father's law office, but was not allowed to take the bar exam or practice because she was a woman. And so in 1848, the first Women's Rights Convention in America was held in her home in Seneca Falls, New York. Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who said, "The moment we begin to fear the opinions of others and hesitate to tell the truth that is in us, and from motives of policy are silent when we should speak, the divine floods of light and life no longer flow into our souls." It's the birthday of the founder of Reader's Digest, DeWitt Wallace, born in St. Paul, Minnesota, 1889, and it's the birthday of Tracy Kidder, born in New York City, 1945, whose book The Soul of a New Machine was one of the first non-technical books about the computer, and it won the Pulitzer Prize when it came out in 1981. For his book House, he wrote about the construction of a single house, because he said, "Building is the quintessential act of civilization." And to write his book among school children, he sat in one fifth-grade classroom for an entire school year. And it was on this day in 1954, Ellis Island formally closed its doors. It had processed more than 12 million immigrants to the United States in more than a half century of service. The first and second-class passengers who arrived in this country, they did not go to Ellis Island. They were given just a brief inspection on board, check for any obvious disease. It was the poorer third class and steerage passengers who were ferried to the island. And immigration officials observed them as they climbed the staircase into the main hall. They put a little chalk on the coats of those they thought might be sick. But if you were in good health and your story checked out, processing might take only about 5 hours. In 1907, more than a million people passed through Ellis Island. But then, around the time of World War I, immigration from Europe began to slow down. Ellis Island was made into a detention center for suspected enemies, and it was closed on this day in 1954. Ellis Island sat abandoned for 30 years, and in 1984 they began restoration. Almost 40% of Americans can trace their ancestry through the gates of Ellis Island. Here's a poem for today, a poem by John Clare. Winter winds, cold and blee. Winter winds, cold and blee, chilly blows o'er the lee. Wander not out to me, Jenny so fair. Wait in thy cottage free, I will be there. Wait in thy cushioned chair, with thy white bosom bare. Kisses are sweetest there, leave it for me. Free from the chilly air, I will meet thee. How sweet can courting prove? How can I kiss my love, muffled in hat and glove from the chill air? Quaking beneath the grove, what love is there? Lay by thy woolen vest, drape no cloak o'er thy breast, where my hand oft hath pressed. Pin nothing there, where my head droops to rest. Leave its bed bare. Winter Winds, Cold and Blee by John Clare. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
SAIL's annual gala and benefit auction is almost here. Join SAIL Friday, November 13th at Centennial Hall as they celebrate access for seniors, elders, and people with disabilities throughout Juneau and Southeast Alaska. The evening features fantastic auction items, live music, and an exquisite dinner. Tickets available at sailinc.org or 586-4920. That's the SAIL gala and benefit auction Friday, November 13th. SAIL, inspiring personal independence for seniors and people with disabilities.
Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It is 27 minutes past the hour. It is 41 degrees at the Juno Airport, 41 downtown, and 40 in the Mendenhall Valley. Tonight, things will be dropping down to the mid to high 30s. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of Juno Afternoon. And Jeff Brown, he's the producer and engineer of himself as well. And I'm Joan Pardis. I am your Thursday host. And our next guests are here to talk about a very special musical event this Saturday. We have Mary Watson. She's a pianist. And Sally Schlichting. She's a flautist. They both grew up in Juneau, learned to play music elsewhere, and came back to share their gift. In fact, Mary, I think you studied here as well, too.
Yeah, I went off to college. But, I studied in California and before, you know, coming back to Juneau and finishing up here.
Okay. And now you two ladies are related, right? Mm-hmm. Aunt and niece.
Right.
And let's talk about this special event, this musical event, this Saturday and Sunday at the Northern Lights Church.
Sure. Yeah. So it's a program of flute and piano music, although we'll be joined for one piece by Sarah Radke Brown, a local soprano. It's fabulous. This program is a fundraiser for Juneau Alaska Music Matters, and they're a wonderful organization here in town, run by Lori Heggie. It's for I think grades 2 through 5 after school program out at Glacier Valley. It's based on the El Sistema program or theory of teaching from Venezuela. And it's quite a community treasure because when I was serving on the conductor search committee for the Juneau Symphony, a number of the applicants commented on the fact that there was this El Sistema-based program here and how wonderful they thought that was and how special. So it's truly a special organization. So we're really pleased to be able to do this wonderful concert of music and support them.
Okay. So it is a fundraiser, and it's called For the Love of Music. It takes place this Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m., and it's chamber music. But there's a reason that you're having this fundraiser. Can we talk a little bit about the reason for the fundraiser for this particular organization?
Well, my mother, Nancy Weaver, who is Sally's grandmother, died in August. And she said before she died that she not only wanted to pay for our concert, but she wanted to give money to the JAM program. And so Sally and I thought, well, we'll put on the program and then we'll, you know, ask for donations for that because it's, you know, it's a lot of work to put on a concert. And so that's kind of what we're doing in honor of my mother and her grandmother. And we're hoping that people will, you know, come to the concert and donate to the cause.
That's lovely.
And, we certainly grew up here learning music ourselves here in Juneau. And this is another homegrown kind of organization of teaching and learning. So.
All right. And then we were talking during the break about the music that we'll be playing. So it's a chamber music concert. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between chamber music and music for a symphony. What's the difference?
Well, you know, I think for the most part, chamber music is for a much smaller and more intimate setting. So, you know, it had its start in the courts and then in the salons and then for parties, you know, maybe for the aristocracy. And then it's, you know, it's broadened into becoming a whole format for performance and that contrasts with a larger symphonic setting or ensemble. You know, it can be anywhere from two musicians, a soloist, you know, trios, quartets, duets, and so on.
But for this particular concert, it would be a piano and flute.
It's piano and flute, and we're inviting a soprano.
Yeah. That sounds great. And let's talk about the composers. We were talking about the composers. So there are five different...
Six, actually.
Six, okay.
Yeah.
Well, five of them are still alive, and that makes this rather unique. I even met one of the composers recently. I was visiting Chicago, and I had lunch with one of the composers, the only woman that's on the program.
Oh.
And that was a wonderful experience for me. And mostly the composers have all been born pretty close to the same time. Would you say 10 years apart?
They're within 10 years apart, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we have one from Latvia and one from
Cuba. Great Britain.
And then the others are American composers.
Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting, actually, that they're all born within 10 years of each other because the styles are all so different. And it'll be really interesting just for the audience to see these different styles from just sort of the same generation and just how they approach the music, the composers do. So,
how did you go about picking the composers, the pieces for the concert?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's sort of organic process. I mean, I listen to a lot of music. Mary listens to a lot of music. We find pieces. We find composers we like. Then we go and see if they've written pieces for flute and piano. And we just sort of explore and pick at them that way and find something. And then we kind of pull this program together that works. So one of the pieces on the program by Samuel Barber, we've played before, and we just love it so much, and it fits so well within the program. We wanted to include it.
He's the only dead one.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Mary Watson and Sally Schlichting. They are doing a chamber concert in honor of a loved one that recently passed in the past several months. It's called For the Love of Music. It's at Northern Lights, Saturday at 8, Sunday at 3, and it is a fundraiser for the
Juneau Alaska Music Matters.
I knew it as JAM. Juneau Alaska Music Matters, which is the award-winning violin program after school at Glacier Valley, introduces kids to music. And it's not supported by the school district, limited funds. It's a private nonprofit, and all the proceeds of this concert will go to that, as was Mary's mother and Sally's aunt's wish.
Sally's grandmother and Mary's mother.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. It doesn't matter.
They're a loved one. Yeah. So, well, thank you both for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I've seen you both perform, and it's always lovely. So
thank you.
I'm looking forward to a concert on
Saturday. It'll be a wonderful concert.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note. What birds are those along the shore? Sandpipers, yes, but which ones? Most are small and brown, darn hard to tell apart. But when you spot the sandpiper named Ruddy Turnstone, you'll have little doubt. With its short, bright orange legs and stubby, chisel-like bill, the chunky, robin-sized Ruddy Turnstone stands out among sandpipers. On taking flight, the turnstone flashes a vivid and unmistakable pattern of dark and light striping across its wings and tail. And that comical chatter is one of a kind, too. In spring and summer, the feathers of ruddy turnstones are bright rust, black, and white. They're the only truly calico-colored shorebird. Fall and winter finds them a duller brown and white, but they still flourish those vivid stripes in flight. Unlike most sandpipers, ruddy turnstones favor rocky beaches and jetties rather than tidal sand or mud. And about that curious name, turnstones do indeed use their stout bills to flip over stones, shells, and mats of seaweed, exposing small crustaceans and other food. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation. For Bird Notes, I'm Michael Stein.
Come celebrate Juneau's trails with Trail Mix at our annual dinner and auction, November 21st, 6 p.m. at Centennial Hall. Proceeds from this event will go towards installing bridges on the Treadwell Ditch Trail next year, as well as many other trail projects here in Juneau. Tickets available online at junotrails.org, at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and Rainy Retreat Books. Join us on November 21st and show your love of trails. This message brought to you by Trail Mix Incorporated.
Juno Arts and Humanities Council is delighted to present Letters Aloud, FAMES. A group of professional actors will be reading private letters of the famous live on stage, charting the course of celebrity through the correspondence of luminaries like F. Scott Fitzgerald, Tom Hanks, Marilyn Monroe, and more. November 24th, 7 p.m. at the Jack. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and at jahc.org.
It is 17 minutes to the hour. You are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO, live from downtown Juno. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I am Joan Partis, your Thursday host. Currently, it is 37 degrees at the airport in downtown and 36 in the valley.
And blowing like a son of a gun.
It's blowing sideways. It's blowing sideways. So Nancy DeCharney is always our last guest on Thursdays to talk about Arts Up. So what's Arts
what's
Up?
What's up? Okay, let's see. This will be news to you and me. Since I haven't really read through this yet.
She knows it all by heart anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This evening at 6:30 at the Hangar on the Wharf Ballroom, we have John Straley. Was he just here?
We spoke to John. He read his beautiful poetry.
Oh,
and
lovely.
He is going to be doing that great talk tonight called The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But a Story, The Art of Writing Historical Fiction at 7 p.m. at the Hangar, open to the public, $5 for non-members of the Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum.
Or you could become a member.
You could, and that might be a little more than $5,
but
worth it.
And supporting a good cause. So there's, Sweeney Todd, of course.
Yes.
This is the, we're into the run for that, and don't put off getting your tickets.
I'm going on Saturday.
Okay, I'm going on Sunday. Tango Dancing at Suite 907 at 7 p.m. tonight. Mm. The Audubon Society Monthly Program is on Antarctica, and it's at the UAS Rec Center, and that's free. It's out at 7 o'clock. Snowvember's Fade to Winter, that's at the Goldtown Nickelodeon at 7. Too many things to do at 7. I would just have to say that. And Sharing the Trails at Zonta Kahini Library. There's Abbey Karaoke out at McGivney's, and there's Open Mic Night with Terry at the Alaskan Hotel and Bar tonight. So that's just today. Tomorrow we have at 5:30 at the Jack, the Gastineau Humane Society fundraising wine and beer tasting and silent auction. Yes, and I think all right. I think you get the tickets are $35, and I think you call the Humane Society to get them. I'm not remembering whether we have them online or not, but it's also at 6 p.m. the Sale Benefit Gala and Auction at Centennial Hall. So you just walk back and forth between the two, supporting two things at once. There is at 6:30 a tiny post office concert with T-Bone and Vainglorious at Kindred Post. This is a free event. You could be learning to skate over at the Treadwell Arena at 6:30. There's Evening at Egan, a Fulbright scholar in Israel. Sherry Tomoni will be talking about that. That's at 7 p.m., also free. A writer's workshop. You have it showcased down here at 360.
Yeah, I have information about that.
Oh,
so
right.
360's ongoing writer showcase. It's a live television recording. It's studio opens at 7. It's free. John Straley will be reading his own work, and then Brandon Dimery, Donnie Gutt, and Frank Katas, local actors, will be reading stories from Vivian Faith Prescott, Ed Sasser, and Melinda Moustakis. And Frank Katas
got an award.
As a playwright. He scooped up the Native New Voice or something like that.
All right.
Something down in Los Angeles. Congratulations, Frank.
Yes. Let's see, and also Friday, this weekend we have Racy Puppets in town. They are at the Hangar on the Wharf Ballroom. Racy Puppets, you're raising your eyebrows.
It's just...
Yes, well, that's what it is. The morally impoverished people have brought some puppet people to town, puppet
makers.
That
seems like something they'd be up to.
And they are, in fact, up to it. So 8 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., get felt.
On Friday?
And then on Saturday, you can take a workshop with them on making puppets.
Oh,
and
fun.
Then they have again, they will do their show again on Saturday. So if you like to sort of see what Racy Puppets might be like, that is at the Hangar, and it's 21 and above and over. There's Fire and McGinnis out at McGivney's on Friday night at 10 p.m. In the morning, you could go to the Thunder Mountain High School wood shop and join the Tongass Woodturners and make wood things.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's free. It's now the holiday bazaar season, and there's one at 9:30 starting at Northern Light United Church. It goes till 2:30, and I know they always have soup as well as all the other things that there is. There's an open studio for drawing at the Canvas. As I mentioned, the puppet building workshop at the Hangar on the Wharf at 10. The second Saturday, Farmers and Crafters Market at the Airport Mall, which is free. It is Dr. Walter Soboloff Day, and they will be having a celebration at the City Museum from 10 until 4. So stop in there. And there's also an arts and crafts and collectibles and Christmas fair at the Mendenhall Mall. So a lot of things to do at 10 o'clock in the morning.
On Saturday.
At 10:30, it is the Mendenhall Glacier Fall Fun Fest, Animal Adaptations. This is for kids. You go out, and they have activities for, I think, ages preschool to 7. I can't quite remember, but it's a nice thing to do with kids out there. Saturday morning at the movies. On a day like today, that might be a good thing, too. That's at 11 o'clock to 1:30.
At the Gilton, Nick, right?
Mm-hmm. There is the Art of Writing Memoir. It's a writing workshop with Ernestine Hayes at 11 a.m. at the Mendenhall Public Library.
And that's something you have to register for. So if you're remotely interested in taking a free workshop with award-winning Ernestine Hayes, highly recommend you do it and call the library.
Yeah, all these phone numbers and how to get more information is on our website, on our calendar, so you can go there if any of these have struck your fancy and you forgot to write anything down. There's fish printing workshop and a critique workshop at the Canvas, lighting and composition with Avril Valiz at the Canvas, a Tlingit language and arts program at the Zach Gordon Youth Center is at 1 o'clock, and the Snowvember Fade to Winter Goldtown Nickelodeon film series is there. At 5:30, Juno's Stop Heroin, Start Talking, Karaoke, and Potluck at the Rockwell Ballroom. That's from 5:30 until 8, and it's a donation. There's storytelling at the Mendenhall Valley Library at 6 p.m., Sweeney Todd, of course, and there's a chamber music concert with Sally Schlichting and Mary Watson.
They were just here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Sounds lovely.
But did they play a little bit?
No, they didn't.
Darn it. Okay, and then there's the Racy Puppets again. Hell's Bells is out at Suite 907 at 8 p.m. to 11. And live music, Kari Griven and the Wrist Rockets out at McGivney's at 10 p.m. On Sunday, the craft fair continues at the Mendenhall Mall, and you've got the ukulele jam over at the Prospector at 11. The Flying Dutchman, you know, the Lyric Opera is really celebrating their 40th anniversary in style. They're having this opera and musical film fest, and this Sunday's performance or showing is the Flying Dutchman. It's at the Goldtown Nickelodeon at 2. And the we have Warren Miller's Chasing Shadows at the Rockwell Ballroom. That's an Eagle Crest fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all on Sunday. Let's see. Oh, and there's karaoke at 9:07 at 9 p.m. on Sunday. Monday, there's a climate action movie series, Yes, Men Are Revolting. The Yes, Men Are Revolting. That's at the Goldtown Nick at 7 p.m. On Tuesday the 17th, we have an arts roundtable. And I didn't catch from Megan what the topic is this month, but it's a nice time if you want to meet other people in the arts or just bring some ideas to the table. Come on down. It's free. It's at the Jack from 5 to 6:30. She usually gets cookies, so I think that's worthwhile. There's a fly tying workshop at the Canvas. There's several other things going on. West Coast Swing is happening. Swing dancing at Suite 907 at 7 p.m. and a second showing of The Flying Dutchman on Tuesday at 7 p.m. There's, fly rod building demo at the Canvas on Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. and more of the Snowvember film series at 9 p.m. Weekly old-time music jam at the Alaskan Hotel and Bar and a ski film night at Louise and Ultimate Frisbee out at the Diamond Fieldhouse. All that's on Wednesday. And like I said, if you need more information about dates and times, check the calendar, either yours or ours. So
sounds KTLO's calendar or JAHC's calendar. Yes. So let's talk about what the JAG, Juno Arts Humanities Council, is bringing into town next. What is the...
The next thing is our Letters Aloud thing, and I think we talked a little bit about inviting people to write letters to sort of get in the mood for the whole thing, and we in fact received a letter. We asked people to send a letter to Meredith, who's new to Juno, and to say what a person needs to know about living in Juno and what she should do. We received this nice letter, which is illustrated with, as you can see, this beautiful picture of a cat. And the letter is to Meredith from Jasmine. It says, Meredith, this is from Jasmine. I'm writing this letter for you. I want to say hi. In Juno, I like going to the rock dump. That's a place for climbing. Two times I rang the bell there. That is at the ceiling. Welcome to Juno. So thank you, Jasmine, for sending a letter. And if you all have, anybody has advice for people who are new to town, like how to deal with days like this.
No umbrella.
Do send them in, and we will be reading them. And then we will post them on our, we have a Welcome to Juno page on our website for people who are new to Juno and need to find things out. We'll post these letters as, you know.
That's great. Jasmine has certainly learned the art of writing letters.
Yeah,
that's a
really
beautiful
nice
letter. So, but what is this Letters Aloud event?
These people, they're artists. They're from Seattle. They have collected, we're getting their fame series. They've collected letters from people like Andy Warhol and Elvis Presley and Marilyn Monroe, and they read them out loud along with visuals and music, and sort of tie the story all together.
When does that take place?
That is April. Goodness, it's November 24th. They're going to be teaching a workshop, a letter writing workshop, on the 23rd at Kindred Post. And there's a limited number of people that can take that workshop, but do sign up for it and come in. They're going to be just talking to you about the art. You know, I just went up and was going through my mother's house for one reason or another and discovered, for example, a little bundle of letters that my father had written to her while they were courting and things like that. And I'm just wondering, what are we losing with email, for heaven's sakes? Are you saving your emails in little packages wrapped with pink ribbon?
No, and it's funny because I was at a memorial earlier this week, and people were talking about the recently deceased and how she was a lovely, she kept the art of writing a letter alive, that everything came with a little note. And it's the same thing with our photos, that all these digital photos are great, but what about the messy boxes of all the photos that you have no idea who half the people are, but you know it was important to someone.
Yes, and they certainly are give you a flavor of the time.
Exactly.
Of those past times. So if you're at all interested in letter writing, or do send Meredith a letter, write it out. We don't want it emailed. We'd like to have you handwrite it. And if you don't want to mail it, we have a little mailbox at the Jack. You can stop in and put it in.
That's
there.
Nice.
Yeah. And then come to this Letters Aloud thing. It's quite an interesting presentation. It's very hard to describe, and you can go on YouTube and sort of get a sense of it if you are sort of puzzled about
that. That sounds great. And where is that?
That's at the Jack.
Okay, great. Well, Nancy, thanks for dropping by and all that you do. We're going to wrap up the show here. So you've been listening to Juno Afternoon. It's the November 12th edition. It is 4 minutes to the hour. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis. And the weather is, we have a strong wind this evening, rain showers, lows around 36, and those winds could get up to 40 miles per hour this evening. Tomorrow, rain showers, highs around 43, south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Friday night, numerous rain showers, snow level 1,200 feet, decreasing to 700 feet late, lows around 34. Saturday, numerous rain and snow showers, highs around 37, east wind 10 miles per hour. Saturday night and Sunday, we're talking about rain and snow mixed, and Sunday night, snow showers likely with lows around 28. Currently, it's 37 at the airport in downtown. Mendenhall Valley is 36. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Andy Klein will be here, which is always a delight, and he'll be chatting up with those Crazy Puppets, The Get Felt Show, and lots of other folks. So thank you for joining us. If you'd like to hear any portion of this anytime, ktoo.org.